Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, John Yurkovich in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Got a lot to get into on today's show. I have so many topics that I have to ask you about here, good kid, because I think there's a lot that we've heard from the Chicago Bears over the last couple of days here. Mike Tirico has an interesting take on the Bears. I want to get your opinion on a trade that could be on the radar for Ryan Poles here. And we know he loves to trade those draft picks away. And just taking a look around at the influence that Dennis Allen has had on this defense. All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Chicago Bears Podcast also brought to you by Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, located 30 minutes from Soldier Field, I-80 94 exit 6. Yerk, you want to tell us a little bit about Mitch Lyons real quick?
He's your guy.
He is our guy.
Yeah, you got the stock market going up and down. You got the stock market going crazy. How do you do? And what do you do to protect yourself and your investments and your retirement? Most importantly, that's what you want to prepare for. I have a game plan for retirement. MitchLyonsWealth.com. That's where you need to go. MitchLyonsWealth.com. He's got a free video for you there to give you all the information that's out there about the stock market, about game planning for the stock market for retirement, and let you know what's really important in retirement as opposed to what people tell you is important about retirement. So go there, MitchLyonsWealth.com.
.com. Who used to have that? Was that Yahoo back in the day? When Yahoo was getting cracking? That's insane.
I believe so, yes.
Yahoo.com. I want to start here, good kid, because this came out this morning. From Bleacher Report, interesting article about the availability now of Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker, of course, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. The third. Running back for the Seattle Seahawks. And because of the production after he dealt with some injury last year of Zach Charbonnet, it seems like Kenneth Walker could be available for trade. The Bears have clearly been linked to multiple running backs. Nick Chubb, 30 years old, coming off of multiple injuries, a little bit younger with some of the other running backs out there. But Kenneth Walker, 24 years old right now, dealt with some groin pulls and different things last season, but nothing crazy, no major injuries to this point. I just want to get this one out of the way immediately. Would you be interested in the Chicago Bears making a trade? They added a future fourth-round pick, and Ryan Poles in the fourth round seems to struggle.
Absolutely not. I've got no interest in Kenneth Walker. I've got no interest in Nick Chubb. I have no interest in using any assets to get any other running back on this team, period. None whatsoever.
Do you feel like the running back room is good enough to go into the season with what the Bears have done with the offensive
line? I believe the running back position is not a valuable position. You should spend the least amount of money on the running back room. The only place you'd spend less is in punters and kickers.
not on this team. We spent high on technically, we spent more on a punter than we did on our seventh-round running back.
That's my theory. I don't know why everybody's worried. Whoever you put back there, if you've got a solid offensive line, will be able to be a productive back for you. So I don't need a name. I don't need to add anything back there. I think you're fine.
You feel solid about
it. If you don't feel fine, come secondary cuts, you'd be able to find somebody you want to bring in here and just add to whatever depth you want.
That's a good point.
At that point. So I'm not, that's everybody making noise for the Bears.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to make noise for the Bears. And Saquon on the New York Giants wasn't nearly the player he was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
Every running back in the country is envious of Saquon's position because he's with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yard and a half before Saquon even touches the ball is what that offensive line gives him.
Listen, there's three running backs from Philadelphia that have benefited by that offensive line, and they've leading that stat all the time, yards before contact.
Yeah.
They lead that stat. Why? Because they run behind that offensive line. That's why.
Yeah.
So, yes, no interest in a running back whatsoever. And every hear that noise, that's just people trying to make copy, that's people trying to think of something. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens sometimes in football.
Is that, do you feel like that's still Ryan Poles' philosophy with this? I know he took the seventh round running back, but he also paid $8 million for DeAndre Swift.
I have no idea what Ryan Poles thinks. Yeah. I wish I did. I don't.
would make it a little easier.
I mean, at least you got guys in, that have a little bit more influence in the room now.
Yeah.
And Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, at least there's a little bit more influence in the room. It doesn't allow Ryan Poles to be Ryan Poles, which should be a good thing for the Chicago Bears.
Well, we'll see. Ruben Hippolyte still was in the fourth round. Fourth round is a rough round for Ryan Poles. That's the only thing where it's like, if you traded a fourth round pick, I'd be like, well, he'd miss it anyway.
Just because you're in the NFL doesn't mean you can identify talent.
Yeah.
Just because you're in the NFL doesn't mean you can identify talent.
I mean, fourth round to this point, I believe we're looking at Tyler Scott. We got a punter when the running back we could have taken was there in Bucky Irving. And this year we got Ruben Hippolyte, who I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of his tape, Yurko, but looks like a fast running back that can't cover. So fourth round is not a great round
for fast linebacker that can't
He's
cover.
He's a very fast linebacker. He led the position category for 40 time at the linebacker position. His coverage instincts, I mean, maybe I'm being harsh and he's a rookie and they'll teach him more, but at this point, they look like they don't exist. He bites on just about every play fake that he can.
Is Sewell the guy that they drafted a couple years ago?
Noah Sewell was taken a couple of years ago, yes, in the fifth round. He's been so injured, he hasn't been able to get out of the field.
They've been trying to give him the job, and he hasn't been able to take the job.
Yes, he's been
for whatever reason, injury, lack of talent, lack of this, lack of that. Doesn't matter. They wanted to give him the job, and for one reason or another, he hasn't been able to take that job. And it's the least important linebacker position on the team because he's the first linebacker that comes out of the game.
100%.
Jack Sanborn was always the first guy out of the game. When they went from regular offense, they went to a three wides. Guess what? Your fifth defensive back's coming on, Gordon, and Jack Sanborn's off the field. So, least important position.
Yeah.
So as far as the defense goes.
100%.
Because the cover corner or the slot corner's coming on right away. So, who can trust Ryan Poles? That's where you're at now.
That was the question Shea asked yesterday.
Who can trust Ryan Poles? Can you still?
Yeah.
You hope that the draft, there was a less influence on him, you know, and some other people were having some influence on what was happening in the draft. So
looking at this defense, we talk about, you know, trying to get Noah Sewell that job and some different things. How do you feel this offseason has gone as far as influence from Dennis Allen on this defense? Some of the changes,
whatever kind of defensive lineman that he wanted, he had an input on that. Grady Jarrett, when he wanted him, the kid from Indianapolis, he probably might have had a good game against him. So that he had the impact there. When they went defensive tackle in the second round, I'm sure Dennis Allen had some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
You know, and the crew that they have at the defensive line position, they probably got together and said, hey, this is the kid we like. Of all the kids that are in this thing, we like this kid. And if we can get him in the second round, that'd be great for us. So I think that's the kind of influence he had. We'll see what he does with the defensive backs and the way he calls a game. We'll see. We don't know yet.
Do you like the philosophy that it seems like he has where he's more focused on the interior pressure than the exterior? More focused on the guys coming from the inside than the edges.
All your great pass rushers come from the outside.
Yeah.
That's just factual. It's easier to get to the quarterback coming from around the edge. Why? Because historically that's who's been able to do it. Guys that come off the edge are usually guys who get there. Having pressure up the middle is an absolute bonus. Of course it is. Yeah. And be great, you know, when you flush a quarterback out and he's got to extend and all of a sudden that path to the quarterback's a little bit easier for the defensive end. Yeah. No, I get it. You want to find a way to put pressure up the middle.
Yeah.
And you're hoping with the guys that they got, they're going to be able to do it. Now, Dexter's going to be a guy that sticks around. Zach Pickens is going to be gone. I don't know if Billings makes this team or not, coming back from an injury. We'll see. He's going to have to play well. But you know Grady Jarrett's making it.
Yeah. Grady Jarrett, Dio Dangbo, who's got some inside-outside capability.
Your second-round pick is making it.
Shamar Turner will be on this team, yes.
So he's here for sure. So it's Dexter Jarrett and the guy I mentioned, the second-round pick. They're in
Shamar Turner,
So I don't know what they kept last year, whether they kept 8 or 10 or 9, but you would anticipate them keeping a similar amount of players. So you look at the numbers right now, somebody's going to have to go.
Oh, yeah. Where do you think that this team is probably going to end up making some cuts at? Because I think you've got, for me, I think the edge group is it. Dennis Allen told me when we were up there, he doesn't like his edges 240.
Yeah,
there's a lot of 240 edges on this team right now.
Well, I mean, Daniel Hardy's a special teams guy.
100%. Yep. So, Austin Booker is that other edge right now.
You're going to keep guys that can play special teams. You know, they'll be your backup players. So if you got two guys that are competing for a position, one's better at special teams than the other, that's the guy that you end up keeping.
Right.
So where do you make cuts? I think they kept 10 defensive backs, they kept 6 linebackers, and they kept 9 defensive linemen.
Yep.
So, you know, you can count up to 9 and find out who's gone. You count up to 6, you find out who's gone. You count up to 10, and, you know.
It's the numbers game, whoever's on the bottom.
I mean, they must not have any drills or anything going on. Because there's nothing going on with the Bears camp, right?
No, rookie minicamp this weekend.
They got a rookie in there afterwards. I see Jonathan Owens at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, he saw him yesterday at the Met Gala. Did you tap into the Met Gala at all, Yurko?
I just saw him at the Met Gala. I didn't tap
into it. You didn't see any of it?
I saw him.
Andre 3000 came out with a piano on his back.
Wonderful.
That was interesting. and then dropped an album where he had a piano on his back, which was a piano album.
I saw none of it.
Did you not?
I just saw Jonathan Owens there.
Are you not a big Met Gala
guy?
Because
I saw his lovely diminutive wife there.
Yes.
So when Simone was there, you just imagine Jonathan Owens would be somewhere. So, I mean, I don't know what's happening, you know, as far as the OTAs or whatever they got going on.
Yeah.
But everybody's out enjoying and having some fun. So we'll see. They'll get to camp, they'll get to work, and Dennis Allen will find out what he has, Ben Johnson will find out what he has. We'll see how happy they are 2 weeks in the camp. Are they going to be scratching their heads, or they're going to be happy? So we'll find out.
That is going to be interesting to see when camp gets here. Everybody screamed for the accountability. Everybody, we got to be more accountable. We got to hold each other accountable. Coaches in here that are going to hold you accountable.
I mean, I'm one of these guys that I'd rather hear the coaches talk than the players talk. These players talked enough last year for 6 seasons.
Podcast-wise, you speak all the podcasts, all the radio shows.
Just regular talk.
Oh, okay.
They talk too much. I don't care what they think. If I never interview another Chicago Bears player ever again, I'd be a happy camper. I want to know what the coaches think.
Yeah.
And I think Ben Johnson's going to be a little more honest about his players, what he thinks about his guys, than other coaches have been in the past. So that's what I want to know. What does Dennis Allen think about what he has?
Yeah.
What does Dennis Allen think about the talent that he has throughout the whole system? Ben Johnson, what do you think? What do you have? What do you got? What's the problem? And then if he goes back, because he hadn't given us that BS, you know, that bullshit football talk.
Yeah.
He's been straight to the point. 100%. He's been very honest. If he starts to go away from the being honest in this and goes back to the bullshit football talk, then I know that we're going to have We're going to have problems. There's going to be problems on this football team.
But
it takes time to get rid of crap. You know that.
Yeah.
It takes time to get rid of crap.
But I think
because it doesn't always show itself right at the beginning.
Yeah.
It shows itself in high pressure situations. So we'll find out.
Don't even your best head coaches, though, give you the BS talk. You know what I mean? Tomlin, I feel like, does. He's straightforward, but then when it comes to a real issue.
All right. Tomlin's been there for how many years?
Long time. What, 20? No, 15 years at this point?
Yeah, Andy Reid. Andy Reid can get very footballish on you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the guy that's just come in
and
has been refreshing.
Yeah.
In your first, second year, when you're cleaning house is when you're going to get the most honesty out of everybody.
Yes.
So, yes, everybody can get into football talk and football language. But in your first year and your second year, you don't get it.
Right.
You get more honesty than you're ever going to get out of a head coach. So I want to see that continue. I want honesty to continue. Because there'll come a time when his guys are here and he's going to give us the bullshit football talk.
Yeah.
Not now.
Because just about everything that he's, you know, given the honesty on is something somebody else brought in. Yeah, those first couple of years, you're really just sitting there. Oh, yeah, well, we got some problems at that position. I don't know where that comes from, but we'll nip it right in the bud by the end of all of this.
Right, so. you're either going to correct it or it's going to be gone. That's the way it works. Either they're going to start, you know, dancing to the tune that Ben Johnson is playing or they're going to be gone, which is wonderful. Like I said, when I got in Green Bay in 91, I got there. By 1995, it was me, Kenny Rutgers, and Leroy Butler. That's it.
That was the only 3 left?
Only 3 left. I mean, that was 4 years.
Wait. Only 3 left on the whole team? Or only 3 left just on the line?
On the whole football team. Leroy was a defensive back. on the whole football team. So what does that mean? It means they folded out 50 guys.
Yeah.
50 guys left.
Yeah.
Jackie Harris left. Chuck Cecil left. Tim Harris left. Everybody was gone. Everybody.
That's terrible.
Oh, no, I forgot one. Frankie Bag of Donuts.
Frankie Bag of Donuts
Frankie,
made it.
Frankie Winter Frankie. Stuck around the whole time. Yeah. No, but you cycle through people. That's the way the NFL is. Rich Moran, Ron Hallstrom, Jimmy Campen, Brian Noble. All these guys are gone. Rob Brown, Matt Brock, Don Davey, Ezra Twalo. Lock a notch.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Vinny Clark was a first-round pick in 91. Goodbye to Vinny Clark, Jerry Holmes. I mean, they didn't care.
Mark Did you guys Murphy, sing that to him on the way out?
No, Mark Murphy, Scott Stevens, Burnell Dent. I mean, I'll go through all the names for you.
Yeah.
Let you know that everybody that was there, gone. And they, even guys they picked up and they didn't like.
Yeah.
Gone. Vince Workman, Harry Sidney. They brought Harry in, Sidney from San Francisco, running back. They got rid of him. I mean, that's just the way the NFL is.
Yeah.
Especially when you get a new coach in. Oh, man.
Yeah, it is a ton of
But it's
of
part
turnover.
Of the business. That's why if you find a way to survive, it's a great thing.
Yeah, 100%. I think what is interesting is because of all the changes we've had this offseason, there's a lot of hype right now around the Chicago Bears. And Mike Tirico was on with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and Sylvie asked him a question about, okay, hey, you know, do you think that Caleb Williams is going to be the next player to break out? Does he have the potential to be a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the NFL? What Tirico said, he said he's got the best chance. I'd say yes for a couple reasons. Skill set, a guy who had head coach who at the head coach position as a play caller connects with the quarterbacks. So you've got all that working together. And the runaround, memorable plays he made at USC, you don't need to make now when you can just get the ball into somebody's hands. He also cited how, you know, Jared Goff kind of, a lot of his big plays are get the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown on a 5-10-yard pass and let Amon-Ra St. Brown be that play caller. When you hear the excitement around the Bears and you hear that excitement around Caleb Williams, do you feel like we should have those high, high expectations for Caleb Williams this season with all of the changes made?
I'm just looking for improvement. That's all I want, improvement. I've been fed the BS, you know, during the preseason and that. No, I just want to see improvement. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Johnson and Caleb Williams to have themselves a great connection, and I'm looking for improvement. That's all I want. Anybody that thinks, you know, if, say, he throws for 4,100 yards and he throws for 28 touchdowns, okay, fantastic, great. That's not exceptional quarterback play. That's above average quarterback play.
Right.
So I got to see it first because, like I said, I've become a skeptic.
We've been here.
Football team.
We've been here. Jay Cutler.
They got to prove it. No, I'm talking about even the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
We got that one off in 2018, and that's all we have.
Yeah.
Every year it builds. The propaganda builds. The BS builds. It all builds. It all builds into them laying a big fat egg at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That's what it builds into. And then you're scratching your head trying to figure out. And then you ask yourself, why'd you buy into the hype? There's no buying into whatever hype they're building for the Chicago Bears. You've got a chance because there's a breath of fresh air and there's new people here.
Yeah.
So I'm buying into the fact that Eberflus is gone. You've got a new coaching staff, maybe some new life, but this group of players I saw after the game against Washington last year fold their tents and just go through the motions. It's the same team that's here. That team hasn't changed.
It's a lot of the same players.
That team needs to be kicked in the ass, you know, and we're going to see what ends up happening here. Because guess what? If you quit once, it's easier to quit the second time.
Mm.
It's easier to quit the second time. When you go into self-preservation mode and you start making business decisions, it's easy to go back into that same mode again. And that's not where you want to be.
Yeah. What I do love that Tirico said at the end of it was he can do all of this. He can have all the numbers. He can have all the fanfare. At the end of the day, win. That's what it comes down to. You can be top 10 in the league just by going out there and being somebody who can win. And I do think that's really the goal, especially this season, where the schedule is not going to be as easy. If you finish this season 9-8 in Ben Johnson's first year, you had a good year with the teams that you got coming in. Yes, is it a mediocre mid-level year? Sure. But a 9-win season after what you had last season with a much tougher schedule, I think is more.
When you suck, being mediocre is good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a 4-game improvement,
yes,
you know, against the schedule, the way you point out, against the schedule they're going to have to play, and the road schedule is absolutely demonic.
Yeah, it's not the AFC South anymore.
You've got to play better against your division to have a chance to be at 9.
Yeah.
Can't go 1-5 in your division and think, oh, all of a sudden things are going to happen for you. They won't. So, I mean, realistically, if you can get to 9, he might be coach of the year. Okay? If he can get to 9, he might be coach of the year.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you saw this team play last year. I saw this team play last year.
So it's a big turnaround. It would be, and that's why I said 9 to me is a massive improvement.
I'm not taking a personal shot at the players either. Okay? When I say any of this. You put your stamp on what you did last year. Mm-hmm. You were a 5-12 football team. You lost 12 games. You're a horseshit team.
Yeah.
That's what you are. You are horseshit. It's not a personal attack.
Fresh off the derby.
That is what 5-12 is. That's what it is. You are a shitty team. Period. And these same individuals with different coachings and different things and different expectations and different this and different that, they have a chance to become a real good team.
Yeah.
But they've got to do it. And you say, well, Mike Tirico said, well, it's just win. Yeah, it's, well, what else are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. It's about winning. Yes. It's winning games. Doesn't matter how you win games. As long as you win games, you win them ugly, you're gonna be brutal. You can barely qualify for the playoffs and then make some noise when you get into the playoffs. Okay? So it's about winning. Yeah.
Giants won a Super Bowl off.
Oh, you don't have to have the stats. You can have the stats, blah, 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 but it's about winning. Yes. Thank you, Mike Tirico, and your nut allergies. Thank you for pointing out the fact that winning is important. Whoa, there's some novel concept. Let's shock the world with, win, and it's good. No shit. Of course you want to win games. That's what it's all about. And that's ultimately what you get judged on.
Yeah.
Winning games, period.
Why'd the nut allergy come up?
he couldn't do the Kentucky Derby because the guy was busy sucking on nuts. It's a problem.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I thought he made it. Did he not make it?
No.
No? Okay.
They took him off the broadcast. You weren't there? You didn't watch?
I'm not a big derby guy.
Took him off. I mean, you could have had an ice cream. You know, you could have had a cannoli and had pistachios on the end.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Could have
been anything.
You know, if you have a kid that's got a nut allergy, you know, you got to be very careful all the time. My kids don't have allergies.
Yeah, I got
superior Croatian blood that runs through them.
Was that what it was?
Damn right.
That's what kept the nut allergies away.
Had to fight that weaker Ukrainian Russian blood.
Oh boy, here we go. All right.
That came from the other side.
Let's finish it out with this good kid. You mentioned you're in wait and see mode.
That's all you can be.
That's all you can be.
You got to see what the influence of the coaching staff is going to be.
100%. That's all you can be right now.
Yeah.
What's the feeling that you have on what this team should be? What do you feel like?
Well, I'm hoping that Grady Jarrett has a bigger influence than Mercedes Lewis. Yeah. I'm hoping Grady Jarrett can come in there. You know, I love quiet leaders, and I love guys that don't have to talk a lot. But every once in a while, you need a red ass. You need somebody that's a little bit acerbic coming in there. So I'm hoping that Grady Jarrett comes in here and raises the expectations and the level of play of the defensive line. The defensive line has been substandard.
Yes.
Last year, your defensive line was substandard. Whether they were beat up, banged up, guess what? You're going to get beat up and banged up again. This is the NFL. This is the way it works. You've got to find a way to go ahead and work through that. So I'm not going to get crazy. We talked about 9-8. Boy, if they can go 9-8 this year, I'd have a smile on my face.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. All the changes that the Bears made.
My predictions are not 9-8, though.
You lower than that?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I've seen this team play.
Right.
What are you talking about? Absolutely, they're lower than that. They're going to have to show me this year.
Here's the only reason I sit at
7. I've got it at 7, and I'm being generous.
And I'm not mad at it because of what you saw last season. Nah. Only reason I say 9-8 is because I see key moments that other head coaches that were playing against us called out about our coaching staff
that they say we don't win that game if that happens. Dan Quinn talking about giving up the 15 yards in the Washington game. We don't win that game if that happens. Dan Campbell talking about just not calling a timeout at the end of the game and just going, yeah, it makes it more difficult if they set themselves up. But we would have been prepared. But Caleb Williams was driving down the field in those moments. I see those moments where the coaching staff clearly put their stamp at the end of a game, and I say, I think common sense fixes that. And I think Ben Johnson has some common sense.
Players still got to play.
Players got to play.
Players make coaches, too. You got to remember that. Players making big plays, they make the coaches,
100%.
Too. Individual player effort and great plays that players can make coaches look like geniuses sometimes. Oh, yeah. The only thing you ask your coach not to do is put you in a bad situation where you can't win. Even with that Eberflus stuff that he did at the end of the year, you had some simple things that players could have done.
Yeah. Tyreek Stevenson not dancing in the corner.
To make things happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Coaches set the expectations. Coaches bring in and say, this is what I demand of you. This is the minimum. This is what I demand of you, the minimum. This is what you have to at least do to stick around. And then it's the individual players that demand more on themselves, that take it to that level. Rod Woodson, demanding of himself. Players around the leagues demanding of themselves. Deion Sanders not settling for just being able to cover a guy. He'd challenge a quarterback. Like, he'd give you a little room. He'd challenge you to throw it, and he'd go ahead and he'd find a way to pick it and get an interception. So I like the fact that you're going to have direction. They're going to set the atmosphere. They're going to give you expectations. But it's up to the players to meet the standard.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's up to players to exceed the standard.
I agree.
So I look at the Bears team, and these same individuals that were here last year, I lost my faith and I lost my trust in the individual players. So until the players turn it around, with action, not with words.
Yeah.
This team talks a lot. They talk too much. It's with action. I got to see action. I got to see the way they play. Not no hits principle, none of that crap. Should always hustle,
Yeah.
Should always play with intensity. I mean, what the hell are we talking?
Did you ever have a coach give you one of those, like,
different coaches,
the Ackermans and stuff
like that? Different coaches do it different ways. Yeah, Bob Slowick was in Cleveland. He did it a different way. Dick Geron did it his way in Jacksonville. I had Fritz Schirmer. I had Ray Rhodes. And I had Hank Bulla. Three different defense coordinators from Green Bay. They all did things differently.
Yeah.
Right? And then my first guy was Tom Alvandotti in Miami. Everybody did things a different way. And they did it how they demanded of you. And then they'd go to the film and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Because you're on the ground. What are you on the ground for? Get the hell off the ground. So, your expectations as you're going through. The coaches set those expectations. And they keep you in line with the film because the film never lies. The film doesn't lie. You can tell somebody you did something and they go to the film and the film knows. That's it. You can't BS nobody. So
can't BS the
team. For me, it's the players, man. The players have got to find a way to get it done. The players have got to find a way to turn it around. And, they're on the path to success. They're 4-2, getting to 5-2, and they got a flat tire. They got derailed, and they never got back on the road again.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to help you get back on that road but the players. The players got to get back on that road. And they didn't last year. And that was disturbing, and that's bothersome.
I hear you.
And that's the stench that enters this season on this football team. You could blame the coaches. You could blame everybody that was here. You can do whatever you want and say, well, look, we got rid of coaches. But you still got those players. That's the problem. You still have those players.
But
the players are the ones that got to turn it.
I agree with that. The players have to step up. And I'm not saying that you're wrong in any way with that. Everything you just said.
Well, you could say I'm wrong.
Well, no.
I ain't going to believe you, you can say I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong with
any of that. I just
don't believe
you.
But do you feel like when watching last season, the moments how the Bears lost some of these games do fall on the coach putting his team in the wrong position? Or is it just the players, they can't?
No.
You got to be better than that.
No, I'm not blaming the coaches.
Okay.
I blame the players. And I'm going to tell you why. The players get the credit when things are going great, and they get the blame when things are going bad. They need to accept the responsibility for the crappy season the Bears had. Nobody else does. Okay, the coaches got fired. Hey, they got fired. That's the way it works. They're the ones ultimately that lose their jobs. You can fire coaches, you can't fire players, right? But when you get new coaches in, oh, they can fire players.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
three left? There's four of you left.
And that's what's about to happen. It's going to be a cold, cruel world in there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to reprove yourself to a new coaching staff, so that's going to be wonderful. But again, when the Bears turn this thing around, Ben Johnson and his crew are going to get credit. I'll credit the players because they're the ones that are going to be a big part of it.
They're the ones that are putting in the work.
They're the ones that got to do the work.
Yeah.
They're the ones that got to make it happen. Yeah, I love my coaches. I had no issues with a lot of my coaches except for Larry Brooks. And his dilemma was that he came after Greg Blash. And Greg Blash was a phenomenal defensive line coach. And Larry came in after Greg. And so it wasn't really fair to Larry because Greg was that good.
Larry was the Greg Popovich successor that's coming in now, essentially.
You've had
Pop for 20 years, and now you guys.
Larry played in the league. Larry was a defensive lineman. He played in the league.
He knew the Rams.
He played. He knows. He's felt it. He's been through it all. But he didn't do what Greg did. I mean, he wasn't even remotely close to what Greg did. Now, I went to play with John Peace down in Jacksonville, and John was pretty good. I mean, he wasn't Greg, but John was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't as good as Greg was, but he was good.
Greg was the best you had?
Yeah, Greg was the best. I had Dan Sikanovich in Miami, and Dan Sink, we used to call him. Man, he'd been around. I mean, I think he was older than Shula at the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Sink had been around.
How old was Shula when you were there? In his 70s, had to be,
yeah,
right?
It was 1990. So, he was still coaching. It was
Shula?
Up there. Yeah. Sink was older than Shula. He comes up to me. My brother's playing at Notre Dame. Yeah. So it was 1990. And Sink goes, hey, is your brother playing? He goes, Notre Dame? He goes, yeah. I go, yeah, he's at Notre Dame. He goes, my son needs two tickets to the Notre Dame Tennessee game. He goes, can you take care of me? I'm like, the line coach is asking me for two tickets. So I call my brother and I said, bro, I said, can you leave that will call? And here's his name. I forget what his name is. And I tell the coach, I said, they're going to be there. They're there under his name. My brother's going to leave them. And then when the weekend pass came, I said, everything worked out. And the coach was perfect, absolutely perfect. I go, coaches are asking me for favors. I'm a rookie player with nothing. I got nothing. And then I'm expecting, okay, my brother, I don't know, he got him for free or nothing, but I'm expecting a little stipend. That way I could call my brother and say, hey, he gave me some money. I owe you. This is what I'm going to get you, blah, 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 blah. Never happened. Oh, so he was old.
He said you were his guy. But I got a guy. Everybody's got a guy.
We had a different John Sandusky.
Yeah.
This was a different John Sandusky. Yeah. He was our coach. Carl Tassif was a coach down there. These guys were all with Shula from the beginning. I looked at him. I could, gee, you could see like the Grim Reaper walking behind him. I don't know if they made it to,
just knocking out.
I don't know if they made it 3 years, in further. Like in '93, we played them.
Yeah.
I'm looking on the sideline. There's all new coaches over there.
They were coaching to keep going? It was one of those situations.
Yeah.
If I stop, it's over.
Well, and back then, coaches weren't getting paid a ton of money.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were becoming millionaires being assistant coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
The head coaches were getting it. The coordinators in 1990 were getting like $185,000. I mean, they weren't blowing it out of the water.
Yeah.
Now, geez, I remember Greg went to Washington as a D-line coach / coordinator with Greg Williams. He was making $1.1 million. He's like, it's great. He goes, they flew me out in a private jet. He goes, it's unbelievable. So like from when these guys started to when they finished, you can coach for 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great for them.
It's going to be, I love it. That's a great
I don't know why we podcast. Went a different direction.
That's a great way to end the podcast. You were talking about how coaches
right,
and players.
And Brooks, And you look at it, I'm tired of talking about the Bears.
Yeah.
Players. I am.
The players, yeah.
I'd rather tell you about the stories and stuff like that. My experience against the Chicago Bears and stuff like that. But this team was so disappointing last year, and it's so sickening that the rhetoric and the BS that we're going to have to maintain going up into the season, it's going to be nauseating.
Yeah.
It's going to be nauseating. Nauseating to me because I'd rather watch stuff happen. And that's the biggest change this football team's going to have is when it happens on the field.
Yeah.
That's going to help this football.
I think there's going to be a stark difference in training camp this year.
And I hope so.
They get one chance? They get one chance with you, good kid? Come through, see a day at camp, see the hard hitting.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna come up.
They'll get the one chance, and then
new coach, and I'm gonna tell them. Let's find out when their heavy day is.
Yeah,
we're gonna be up there for a heavy day. We're not gonna be up there for guys running around in their shorts.
A little shorts action. You're not here for a little.
I'm not here for shorts.
As J Mac calls it, the underwear Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not here to watch. I'm not watching pickleball.
Pickleball.
I'm not watching any of that.
Pickleball.
I want contact. I want to see contact.
Yeah.
And hopefully they do it on the field that we can actually see the action, and they don't put us in the stands and then they're way to hell over there. You know, they even limit the media access.
Oh yeah.
Wherever we were at, the media used to be able to come to the sideline where we were practicing.
Yep.
Pete Prisco, all the guys down from the Florida Times Union, Mike Bianchi, they'd all come down there and they'd all take a look at us. And they'd see it. You can hear it. You can hear people get cussed at. You can hear people get yelled at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mega Prisco, your wife's coughing at me.
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's a
all
Tuesday.
Right, I gotta go.
All right,
I gotta go to work.
Good Kid's got a show to do. We appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love.